Well, good afternoon. It's a pleasure again to be with you in Bethany Paisley. And I want to speak to you tonight, or this afternoon rather, from make the basis of our little talk one of the great verses that the Apostle Paul wrote. He had the great ability to take, in just a few words, explain great and precious truths. And the verse we want to look at to make our springboard for our short discussion is 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. And now, whence you're looking that up, if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, I'll read it through twice clearly. But just further to the announcement that was made today, let me just encourage every one of you to come along tonight to hear Derek Malcolm. I had the great privilege of being Derek's Sunday school teacher through in Stenhouse Muir. Now, I was a very, very young Sunday school teacher, and he was a very, very old pupil. That explains the short distance between our ages. But Derek's been greatly used of the Lord. And Andy and I were just talking, and we were saying, you know, how surprised both of us were that Derek actually finished up in Turkey, where he had a very, you could almost describe it as an intellectual ministry. Because as a young man, he was a very capable preacher and a very enthusiastic preacher, and yet God took him and he placed him in a land like Turkey, where he did a lot of teaching very privately and translating books, etc. So he's been greatly used of the Lord. So just come and hear Derek tonight. He's well worth it. I'm sure I'll be rewarded for that wee extra plug. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now listen to this. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul adds at the end of that little verse, of whom I am chief. So today we want to think very simply of, why did Jesus come? You know, the Lord Jesus is the very centre and the core of the message of the Christian. And so it's quite a reasonable and a sensible question to ask, well, why did Jesus come? And Paul says in just these few words, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I want to take you back just for a short time this morning or this afternoon, and I want to take you to a period of time when the Lord Jesus walked amongst men. And we've got seven instances where Jesus expanded upon this. I mean, that would be the sort of grand title. Why did Jesus come? He came to save sinners. But you know, Jesus, in his 3.5 years public ministry, he brought to his hearers' attention seven reasons why he came, expanding on this main one here. And as time permits, we're going to look at these. Now, the first one I was thinking about during the week as I was thinking about this time together came from Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And Jesus said this, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord Jesus was in someone's house, and the pecking order was established in the house. And you know, the interesting thing is that when the Lord Jesus came, Matthew was the person whose house they were in when these words were spoken. And Matthew was surprised when the Lord Jesus came away with this, because he's looking at people who were trying to be great. And when they came into the room, they wanted to get a position at the top of the table near the important people. And the Lord Jesus just stood back, and then he came away with these wonderful words. He says, "The Son of Man." Who's the Son of Man? It's none other than the Son of God. And he says this, "The Son of Man came not to be served." All these people were waiting to be served by the servants. You see, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And what an example he has brought to us, to we who are his followers, to be servers and givers. But notice how he finished up and says, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now each of these seven verses, as we have time, has a little sting in the tail in this way, that it asks and poses a question for you and I to answer. So here we are, the Lord Jesus saying, I didn't come to have people serve me to be great, I came to be humble. And I came to give my life a ransom for many. On another occasion, Jesus says this, I came to give my life a ransom for all. So what's the difference between these two verses? A ransom for all and a ransom for many. Well, here's the difference. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the work that he did at Calvary's cross, has made it possible for every single person in this wide world to know God's salvation and know Christ as their Saviour. The work has been done, the price has been paid, the ransom price for you and I to be Christians, to have our sins forgiven, but it's only to those who believe in him that will receive that great blessing. We're going to think on that in another of the quotations. So, today, you want to ask yourself the question, and I'm going to ask myself the question, am I one of the many? In other words, have I entered into the good of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary when he gave his life a ransom for many? There's the first question. There was the first reason the Lord Jesus came. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We turn over to Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. And this time, the Lord Jesus is eating with publicans and sinners. He was often accused of that when he was here. In other words, with the common man. The common man. The tax collectors. Those that were despised. The Lord Jesus is with them. And the Pharisees, these do-gooders, those whiter than whites on the outside, they're speaking about him. And the Lord Jesus says this. They're asking the question, why do you eat with sinners? Why? And the Lord Jesus says, well, listen. Those that are sick are the ones that go to the doctor. If you're not sick, you don't go and clutter up the doctor's surgery, do we? We only go when we're needing the attention of the doctor. He says, well, listen to this. He says, I came. Here's another reason why he came. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That was the purpose why he came. He came not to call the righteous, those who think they're fine as far as God is concerned. And we're remembering this, haven't we? That God has said, all have sinned. So all are not right with God. But what the Lord Jesus is saying, there are those who believe they're right with God and they're depending on their own goodness. Now, the Lord says, well, I can't do much with people like that. Until they recognize their need, I didn't come to call people like that, but what I did do is I came to call people to repentance. So the second question I want you to ask yourself, am I one of the righteous? In other words, do I think I am right with God and don't need Christ's salvation? Or am I one of the ones, the sinners, for whom the Lord Jesus came? You remember when the Apostle Paul was preaching, he said this, that God calls us to repentance. What's repentance? Repentance means a change of heart and a change of mind in the way we're going. We've got a different view about God and about the scriptures, and we've got a different view of ourselves, that we're sinners in God's sight, and the way we're going is taking us to a lost eternity. And repentance is this, we do a turnaround and we head towards heaven and home. So there's repentance, but there's something else needed. What is that? It's faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. More about that shortly. So here is the question. Am I one of the righteous or am I one of the sinners for whom Christ came and for whom he died. So he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Another reason why he came. We're flipping over now to Luke chapter 19, and we're thinking of a man there called Zacchaeus. You'll know him well. And the Lord Jesus says, after his meeting with Zacchaeus, another reason why I came, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was a very rich man, despised rich man. He was another tax collector who was making a mint from the people with the taxes that he charged. And he was so despised and he was so unhappy because in his sin he was miserable. And he heard that the Lord Jesus was coming and he said, I'm going to meet him. I want to meet him, see if he can help me in my predicament. And you remember, he was a wee man that climbed up to the sycamore tree and he hid there on the route that Jesus was taking. And of course, the Lord Jesus comes by and amazingly, he stops under the tree and he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus. How did he know his name? Never met him before. Well, you may be here today and it would surprise you if the Lord Jesus came, he would know exactly your name. And he says to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Before he went up the tree, he was one of the all. And when he came down the tree, he was one of the many. Why? Because he recognized the one that was bidding him to come down was none other than the Son of God, the Son of Man, self-same person. And why did he come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, the Lord Jesus is here today, and his business is still seeking those that are lost with a view to saving them. Didn't we follow closely just a few weeks ago these miners who were trapped in the mine down there in Wales? And we were praying for their delivery. And there were those who were desperate to save them, but they were too late. But here we have the Son of Man, and he's come to seek. And he's in time. And this is your opportunity to trust the Saviour today. Have your sins forgiven. And he's calling you today. And he says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't it wonderful that we in Scotland today, on a Sunday afternoon, can just hear these words again. The greatest person who ever lived, he says this, I've come to seek and to save just people like you, people like me. Another reason why he came. Then we're going into John's Gospel now. We're moving quickly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The Lord Jesus says this. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So the last question I wanted to pose to you from Luke 19. Am I one of the lost? And am I now one of the found? So the question we're going to ask from this little verse is this. Have I this life that the Lord Jesus was speaking about? What does he say? I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. I think it's true to say that in Britain today and indeed in the Western world, in fact in the whole world today, men and women are looking for life. How to live life to the full. There's a recognition that life is a short span and they want to get the very best and the very most out of life. And sometimes we see the problems with our younger folks in our country today on a Friday night and a Saturday night and their glory and their shame. But why? What's the problem? They're trying to get something that will satisfy them and give them a fullness of life. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, true living, true life cannot and does not come that way. He says, let me tell you how it can be. He says, I am come that ye might have life. Now, what's the kind of life that Jesus brings? Well, let me tell you simply, it's this. He says, it's eternal life. We look around us. As I was travelling along the road today, there were fields where I saw cows and sheep. And in that rain, they weren't looking too happy. But there they were anyway. And these animals have life. They've got a similar kind of life to ours, but not the same. But you know, when God made you and I, way back in the beginning, he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man had a different life to animals, a life that responded and could respond to God. But you know, sin came in, and we look around the country and the world today and we see the ravages of sin in individuals, in the creation. We have floods, we have earthquakes, we have volcanoes. And it all tells us that something catastrophic happened a long time ago. But Jesus said, now listen, I'm come that you might have life. And the person who trusts me as his Saviour, he says, I give him a new life. I give him eternal life. It's the life of God. And he says, see, when you start living that life, you live it abundantly. When you get up in the morning, do you have any kind of sense that you're living an abundant life? You see, how can you have that kind of life when you're dressing to go to your work? Oh, you can, of course you can. The person who has Christ in his life and living for Christ, he's living an abundant life. So my question from this, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you got this eternal life that Jesus offers? And if you have it, are you living it for his glory so that your life might be more abundant? Moving on now to John chapter 1, verse 11. And the Lord Jesus, or John the Baptist, says of this person, or John the writer, they're all linked together here. And John the writer, the apostle, says this about the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So my question here is, am I one of his own? That's why he came. He came to his own, that they might receive him and know this life. But he says the tragedy is when he came, they wouldn't have him. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus, before Pilate and before he went to the cross, do you remember the people shouted, away with him? And then they said something tragic. They said, his blood be on us and on our children. And how God's people, the Jewish people, have suffered for that down through the centuries. Some of you here are old enough to know what happened during the 1939-45 war. And the Jewish people ringing in their ears, his blood be upon us and on our children. You know, I was just thinking, the number of nations that surrounded the little country of Israel way back in the very beginning, there's no trace of them today. The Philistines, the Hittites, and they've all gone. And yet that little nation that's been oppressed, God has preserved it. But oh, they've suffered for their rejection of the Messiah. He came to his own, and they wouldn't have it. I want to ask you this afternoon, are you one of his own? Has he come, and has his coming been of value to you? He came to his own and they wouldn't receive him. But there's a lovely wee thing that says this, but to as many as did receive him, there were some. To them gave he the authority, the power, and the right to become the children of God. So I ask you this afternoon, have you received him? And if you have not received him, why not do it today? John chapter 12. He said this, I have come, this is the words of the Lord Jesus, I have come, here's another reason why he's come, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So my question from this quotation from the Master is this, are you in the light or are you still in darkness? Do you ever despair of the country we're living in? Do you ever think of the moral and the spiritual darkness that we're in? I just happened to hear in the news last week, and I'll probably hear something similar this week in the news, at the the next party conference, I was thinking of Ed Miliband, and he was smiling rather smugly. Now, this man is a Jewish person, Jewish descent. And he was talking about his life, his children, the things that had happened to him. And then he proudly quoted, "And then I got married last year." And I thought, here's someone, one of God's chosen people, the Jewish people. And then he smiled and he says, "Come on now, we're living in 2011. What's he saying? He says, in 2011, the year that we're living on, anything goes. God's standards, doesn't matter. He's history. God's history. We do our own thing. We do our own thing. And he says, it's in 2011. There is moral and there is spiritual darkness in our world, and God will judge that in a day to come. So my question is this: are you in the light, or are you still in this moral and spiritual darkness that men and women find themselves in today? The Lord Jesus says, "I have come as a light into the world." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." When we believe in him, the darkness and the sin is banished, and we walk in the light as he is in the light. And my last one for you today is this, John chapter 16, verse 28. Another reason why Jesus came. He said, "I have come from the Father and have come into the world." He's come from the Father. What's he telling us? It's the Father's desire that the Son should come, and the people who are in their sin and in the darkness of their sin might have light and salvation through him. We love to sing down at Wood Park. I don't know if you sometimes sing it here. "Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true." And it finishes up with, "Dwells in the heart of the Father above." That wee hymn has got a very special place in my heart, and I'll tell you why. I'd never heard it before, and I was visiting my father through in Stenishmuir just a few weeks before he passed into the presence of the Lord, and he loved good hymns, and he loved to sing, and he loved when he was able, just to play the wee electric organ he had. And the rest of the folks had gone to a special rally in the wee hall next, just along the road, and I stayed with my father, and he says to me in the middle of the evening, he says, "Have you ever heard this hymn?" And he got up and he played it and he sang it. And I says, "No, I've never heard that before. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love." And that was the last thing I ever heard him singing before he went to be with the Lord. So the Father sent the Son. And it tells us about his incarnation, this verse, doesn't it? But then he says that, "I'm going to leave the world and I'm going to go to the Father." So he says, the Father sent me. And he says, once I've completed the Father's work, I'm going back to the Father. Now, is that the end of it? Not at all. In John 14, the Lord Jesus says this: "If I go back to heaven," he says, "I will come again." The incarnation, the Lord Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, raised again the third day, according to the scripture. And he ascended to the very presence of God, where he is today, seated, a prince and a saviour, at the right hand of the majesty on high. What was the promise? "If I go, I will come again." There's no faith offers that promise. No faith offers that hope. So my question is this today: when he comes again, will you go with him? You see, what he said when he spoke these words, he was speaking to Christian people. He was speaking to his disciples and his followers. And when he said, "And if I go, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So there you have it. Another question: when he comes, will I be ready? Will I be received to be with him for all eternity? What did Paul say? He says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You're a sinner. God says it. He's the Saviour. Will you receive him today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the coming of the Saviour. We thank you that in the great global terms, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we've been thinking into some of the things that he did when he came, and the great possibility that men and women and boys and girls today can know new life in Christ because of what he has done on the cross of Calvary for them. Help us to repent, repentance toward God, and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and know this new life, and help us to live for thee, and so that we might live life more abundantly. Receive our thanks for the reading of your word. Receive our thanks for the Saviour, and bless us with your salvation, and bless us with your presence as we leave. We ask this in our Saviour's name. Amen.